Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio, Steel Waves Radio, iHeartRadio, podcast, all sorts of podcast Addict, Geo Savan, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you're listening to us. YouTube, it's the Dark Mark Show. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian, and as I've been saying all month, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's almost Halloween, and in the spirit of that, she's Bach, my co-host, everybody's favorite vegan heavy metal DJ, and the co-host of the other podcast, Vegans Uncensored, Hannah Bach.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Hi, Anna.
Hi, hello. Beautiful.
And hi, Mark.
And Hannah's not going on camera today, unfortunately, but this woman is. Hannah, when I said we're going to have Halloween guests, who was the one you recommended?
Debbie.
Yes. There's not too many women that are known as screen queens that are true screen queens. Here's one of them right now. She's the star of everything from Bruce Lee Rises from the Grave to the upcoming vampire movie and Hollywood Warrioress Protocol, all sorts of movies in between. It's Debbie Dutch.
Yay. Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Say hi to everybody, Debbie, so they can see you.
Hi, everybody. I'm so happy to be here. I miss Mark and Hannah. Do you know that we did the New Year's, it was like January 2019, and that's when I had the great honor and definitely pleasure to meet you guys. And remember, Cyrus was there, and crazy Damien was
there.
It was so much fun. I couldn't believe Cyrus eating those light bulbs.
Oh, that was great.
Oh, that was awesome.
The thing is, Debbie, we met you before then. We met you before then. We've hung out with you at the Rainbow. I met you with Sky.
I met
you at the Rainbow a million times. But that's right. The first time we actually got to talk and be friends. And if I recall correctly, we went to your party afterwards. You throw the best parties. You got the best apartment in Hollywood. And
You do, yes.
If those walls can talk, the shenanigans there since the 80s, I could just only imagine. But anyway, before we get going with you, got to pay the bills real quick. Very exciting. We're still sponsored by Audible. If you go to audibletrial.com/DMS, you get a free book and a free Audible original. I'm very excited, Hannah, because and actually Debbie knows as well, I played you both have rode in my car when I've been blasting Judas Priest, which I think is very good driving music.
Mm-hmm.
I was very excited because I kept seeing all over the place, Rob Halford just came out with a book, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, I can't wait for that to be on Audible. I wonder when that's going to be on Audible. It's on Audible now.
Ooh, there we go.
I use my credit. I've got it. I've been listening to it.
How is it?
Rob Halford's book. You can get any Halloween book, books on Scream Queens, books on movies, Audible originals, whatever you want. It just go to audibletrial.com/DMS for the Dark Mark Show. And you get one free book, one free Audible original, two free books, and a 30-day free trial. And you can cancel the trial at any time. You still keep the books. Hannah, if we're going to Debbie's house for Halloween, you know afterwards where we're going to have to be eating.
Doomy's Home Cooking, the best Doomy's vegan food in Los Angeles.
That's right. Somebody actually asked for recommendations for a vegan restaurant, and I said Doomy's Home Cooking. 1253 Vine Street. Also, there's one in Culver City. There's one in Toronto, Canada. I tried the Chicken Cordon Bleu a few weeks ago. Delicious. They've got nachos. Mm-hmm. They've got flautas. They've got chicken Alfredo pasta. They've got everything.
Breakfast.
They've got breakfast. Mm-hmm. You ever been to Doomy's Home Cooking, Debbie?
Wow.
Have you ever been to Doomy's Home Cooking, Debbie?
No.
It's the best vegan food you ever had, right on Fountain and Vine, right where the M-Bar used to be.
Oh, yeah.
You can't believe it. You probably have been there there because they're open until 3 in the morning, so it's a great place.
Yes, yes. Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also on Grubhub. Mm-hmm. Postmates.
Yeah, during the pandemic, you can get it delivered, or you can go there, and there's seating outside, and it was packed the last time I was there. It's Doomy's Home Cooking. definitely save the restaurants, help people out. It's tough going in restaurants and bars. Help who you can. Help Doomy's Home Cooking, especially. And a couple more sponsors really quick. Hustler Hollywood. So get your dick pills, your butt plugs, your dildos, whatever you want. 20% off coupon if you go to the description of the show on YouTube or on the podcast catchers. Also 20% off any order of $249 or more at Spy Associates. So you can get bug detectors. You can get cameras in your smoke detectors. You can get all sorts of bugging device, all sorts of James Bond stuff. 20% off any order over $249. And because I have to match Debbie's boundless energy, I have my favorite energy drink here, and I've tried them all. And this is the best. Raise energy drinks. Zero sugar, zero carbs, zero crash. This is the Baja Lime flavor. Do what I did. Got a case a couple weeks ago with our discount, 15% off. If you go to our social media pages or our the description in the YouTube or the podcast catchers, get 15% off Raise Energy Drinks. Baja Lime tastes like Baja Blast at Taco Bell. Delicious. But the best thing about it, zero calories, zero carbs, zero crash. Now, Debbie, let's start with you, since you're the only guest today. Now,
I know. I feel so, like, special tonight.
I'm always confused what
you are.
You are so special in our eyes. Should I call you Debbie Dutch? Should I call you Deborah Dutch? Should I call you Deborah Chaplin? Should I call you Debbie Dare? You can go by all these names. What name do you prefer?
Debbie.
Debbie. So Debbie Dutch is what you like.
Yeah, Debbie. Okay. Yeah, Debbie Dutch or, Duchess has been revived.
Oh, wait a second. Do you have a new name?
No, I've always been called the Duchess, you know, and throughout my life, but you know, I kind of got left by the wayside, but there are a couple things coming up that you'll see me as the Duchess.
Okay.
Just call me Debbie tonight.
You're just Debbie tonight. Okay.
That's it.
I will just call you Debbie tonight. Debbie, we went through your upbringing last time, the prominent family that you come from, but we didn't really get into two things. We talked about your cheerleading and how that met an unfortunate end, which led you into acting, but we didn't talk about your Broadway career, and we didn't talk about your dancing. Hannah always loves to talk dancing.
I do because I have no rhythm, and I'm in awe of dancers.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, you know, when I was a little girl, you know, all little girls wanted to be ballet dancers. And so my mom, you know, took me to, you know, 4 years old to start ballet classes. And we all realized that I had talent as a dancer because we all have talent doing something. And
at 4 years old, you had talent as a dancer?
Yeah, when I was 4 years old, when I went to ballet class, and then I was always put out front, and then I would have solos, and then when I was 15, I was going to be a professional ballerina, and I was going to New York City to actually audition for the New York City Ballet, but I was a cheerleader at the time, and just a freak thing. You guys see me do splits and stuff like that.
Well, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I still
in
do.
In studio.
I did them last Saturday night. And, you know, it's really funny. You know, I was at the after hours, and I'm sure you know Dean, you know, with the red mohawk. And
oh, Dean, yes.
Yeah, no, Zero, Nova Star. You know, I've been hanging out with those guys at the after hours. And they go, Debbie, come on, do the split. You know, because at Nick's after hours, you know, they have the stripper pole. I go on that. Mm-hmm. I have more fun. And they go, do the splits, you know. And so, you know, but what I'm getting to is that I was a gymnast and a cheerleader. And I was doing something really simple. It wasn't a complicated, you know, like a flip or a round off or, you know, anything like that, or jumping off at somebody's shoulders, which we did as a cheerleader. I did do those things, but it was just a simple, you know, as a matter of fact, I was auditioning, you know, cheerleaders who wanted to be on the squad for the senior year or something. I guess it was senior year. I was, you know, co-captain. So what happened is I just did a little knee bend, and I broke a tiny little bone in my knee and didn't even know I did. And it was floating around. The knee is a very complex joint. I don't want to get into all the medical things. I didn't even know it was a broken bone in there, but it messed up my knee. And I had to go on a cast for a year. So there was no way that I could do the 4 hours a toe. You know, you go on the top of your feet and everything on as a toe dancer. And I couldn't do that. So my ballet career was over, but I still did all kinds of dancing. I did musical comedies and stuff in high school, and then in New York, you know, was called upon to dance a lot. And then when I came to LA, I actually was Miss Fantasygram. I had I was asked to have my own striptease company. So
oh, really?
That's another story, which is very interesting. I had been in a fashion show.
Let's hear that. I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, the Ambassador Hotel was still there. And they did a special fashion show with the young starlets. And the gentleman who was running the fashion show had all wardrobe. His name was John LeBold. And he had wardrobe from the original Playboy Club in London. I actually was asked to wear Judy Garland's dress from The Wizard of Oz and Elizabeth Taylor's dress from An Evening in Paris, because I had 22 inch waist and nobody could fit into it and was small. Elizabeth Taylor was a really small woman, and of course Judy Garland was a young girl, and so I wore those two things. But I made really good friends with John LeBold, and he was, you know, you not believe John. I just adored him.
And, how nerve-wracking was it being in Dorothy's dress and knowing you can't rip it, you can't fuck it up, you can't...
Oh, yeah. Well, I was, like, in my late teens, I guess, when I first came out to L.A., and I wasn't afraid of anything.
Care? You're like, I don't care. It's a dress. Well, I got no responsibility. If something happens, it happens. I'd be scared to put something like that on.
Well, you know, when I was young in my late teens, when I started out in my acting career, Mark, I didn't have a scared bone in my body. I was totally fearless.
Well, 10 years later, you still don't.
Thank you. But anyway, John LeBold had all these fabulous costumes, wardrobes, everything. And he called me on... I guess he called me on the phone. I forget how we got together. It was so many years ago. He had a wardrobe company, actually, on Hollywood Boulevard, you know, somewhere around where the House of Wax is, you know, and all that, the Wax Museum. Upstairs, a really cool place. When you went in, it was all spooky, too. And he wanted to start Miss Fantasygram, and he picked a couple of his models who danced to be Miss Fantasygram. So I went to studios. I did, GP. And then I went all the way down to R. I never went below stripping, but.
So this is like.
I did that for at least a couple of years and made a lot of money dancing. A lot of
just,
money.
Just so the kids that are watching this know, this is like a singing telegram. You would knock on the door and you would do a routine
kind of like that.
Yeah, okay.
I would show up at the party. It was a part, but the people who hired me had a fantasy. So he would go into the wardrobe department, like, let's say it was like one time I was like a little Bo Peep, and then another time I was a mermaid, and then do you hear the dogs barking?
I do. Yeah, see today we send memes and JPEGs. Back then they sent actual people back things up.
What? I'm sorry, I missed that.
I said today they send memes and JPEGs. Back then they actually sent people to act it out. And that's what you were doing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. absolutely. So it was a lot of fun. It was so much fun. But then what happened was, I started to get acting roles, and so the dancing sort of went by the wayside. But I just love to dance the night away. And I think of that because Van Halen, Eddie just mm-hmm. passed away. And I've been listening Dance the Night, Dance the Night Away.
Did you ever meet Eddie Van Halen? I would imagine you did at some
point. No, I didn't. But I was invited to a Van Halen party up in the towers one time, and I never made it up there. I forget what was going on. But back in the 80s, it was such a crazy time, you guys. It was so wild on the strip.
That's what I thought, because I figured you would meet one of those guys at some point.
No, actually, I've met so many, rock stars.
Yeah.
But
dated a few. We heard about that last time. And apparently you're dating one right now from what you told me. But we've got to keep that on the hush-hush. But you were getting a lot of roles. And you were. And you were getting a lot of roles in really major movies. Now, Bruce Lee Fights Back from the Grave, we talked about last time. But after that, you did a movie with Tommy Lee Jones, a TV movie, about Howard Hughes.
Correct. Yeah, that was a very interesting entry into the Screen Actors Guild and into the A movies and A studios. Because what happened was I had done the Bruce Lee movie. And as I mentioned in the last show, I became a star in Korea. And I told you the story about my friend in Times Square and called me on the phone and said, Debbie, you're on the billboard in Times Square. And I said, what are you talking about? I had no clue. And it was Bruce Lee Fights Back from the Grave. But they offered me a 5-picture deal, but I said I couldn't do it because, I had just come from New York and I really wanted to, and young, and I really wanted to break into the big time,
You've been on Broadway, you've done legitimate theater.
Yeah. And so I had the foundation of being a real actress, not just, a pretty young girl coming off of the bus and thinking, oh, I'm going to be a movie star, right? No, I actually, worked hard to train. And like I said in the last show, they cut you right to bits in New York. If you didn't have the talent, and I'm not saying this to brag or anything, but that's where you really knew. The song Frank Sinatra sings?
If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
Exactly. Well, it's really that way. I mean, it was so tough as a young actress in New York. It was, I can't even describe it with words. And you were just cut to pieces. If you did not have talent and you didn't know the Strasberg method, and you couldn't cry on cue and do check off, mm-hmm. you were out, period. Well, and you were left to go somewhere and do whatever it is that you wanted to do, but you definitely weren't going to be hired on Broadway or anything substantial in New York.
Well, hopefully later we'll...
In L.A., that's what I had in my blood, in my DNA. I'm going to do it. So the Kung Fu thing, I did it. Loved it. It was fabulous. Learned how to do martial arts, et cetera, and so forth. But I turned down the 5-picture deal. And that's when I met this wonderful woman. Believe it or not, she was a daughter of my grandmother's friend. But she was a producer in Hollywood. And she actually was a associate producer on Howard the Amazing Mr. Hughes. And so she said, Debbie, they're looking for, a young actress to play the nurse when Tommy Lee comes into the hospital with Noah, who was played by Ed Flanders, the late Ed Flanders. And it's the last part available in this TV movie, and they haven't cast the part yet. And I met Joy Selznick, and she immediately pushed me right into Herbert Hirschman's office. And Herbert Hirschman was in CBS, and he was an older gentleman who just ruled. I mean, he was one of the kings of CBS, and he was the executive producer, actually, one of the executive, I think he was the executive producer, or Howard the Amazing Mr. Hughes. Sweetest, low key, soft spoken gentleman behind this big desk. I come in and he says, okay, you've been highly recommended by Joyce Selznick, you know, David O. Selznick's granddaughter. Right. And do you have your scenes? And I said, yes. And I was all ready. And I just, bam, did it. And he looked at me, he says, okay, Debbie, you have the part. And he had the glasses on, he put them down. He says, show up at the set on Monday morning or something like that. It was that fast. And then I showed up on the set and I wasn't in SAG yet. I was SAG eligible.
Right.
So I had to go into an office and just sign some papers, and they paid all the fees to get into SAG. And then before I knew it, I was in the makeup chair next to Tommy Lee Jones.
And how was he before he was really famous?
He was so into character. It was when he was going into the hospital with the long stringy hair.
That's Howard
Hughes. And the long nails. And Tommy Lee Jones at the time was a rising superstar. We're talking, you know, late 70s.
Right, and but he wasn't a star. He wasn't a star yet. He was,
but he was on the, rising.
He had been in a few movies, but he wasn't like Tommy Lee Jones now.
But you know how there's a talk?
Yeah.
He was the talk of Hollywood at the time.
Okay.
And he was so into his character, Mark. I was as close to him almost as I am to the camera here. Mm-hmm. And of course, me young and studying acting and realizing, you know, my God, I'm sitting next to Tommy Lee Jones. I'm going to have a scene with Tommy Lee Jones. and I looked over at Tommy Lee Jones and I go, wow, you're really getting into your character, aren't you? And he wasn't saying a word. He was like, he was like so involved becoming Howard Hughes before he died, mm-hmm. you know, with long nails, when he was like the real recluse and going a little bit crazy. And he looks over at me like this. And he goes, yeah. And then went right back. And I just sat there like this. And I said, okay. And I'll just never forget that. And I just, the whole time they were doing my makeup and everything, I kept looking over at him. And he was totally in character the whole time. I was so impressed. I was so overwhelmed by the power of Hollywood,
right.
and movies and acting. And it was just a real deal. It really was a real deal. It was so incredible. And that was my start.
Yeah,
in real stuff. And
you got really hot. You were in DC Cab, Joel Schumacher's movie.
Oh yeah, Joel Schumacher, who just passed away. I love and adore him. Yeah. You would not believe that scene. Just for my little part in DC Cab.
I've seen DC Cab. What scene is it's been a while, but what scene is that?
It's a scene at the drive-in when Tyrone goes running across the top of the drive-in picture.
Right.
And I go, oh, look at that little man running across the top of the screen. And it's
3D. I remember that.
Yeah, and I only have like that one line. But, you know, there's a scene leading up to it, and we right. make out in the car, me and my boyfriend. We're at the drive-in movie. You remember the old drive-in movies? And,
well, they're coming
and
that's back. Where
I met, yeah, I met they are.
I met Mr. T, Gary Busey.
Yeah, Hannah, have you seen DC Cab?
Yeah, DC Cab.
They were all that.
Bill Maher, like, Marshall Warfield, Mr. T, Gary Busey. I mean, it's the weirdest cast you've ever seen in the movie.
Oh, you sold me at Bill Maher.
Yeah,
and Joel Schumacher directed, who directed the crappy Batman movies, but he also directed The Lost Boys, Falling Down, and other good movies. So it's pretty good.
Now I'm going to tell you something about DC Cab that
please.
That you know. I may or may not, you know, should not say.
Say it.
But it's a really cool, positive thing. I'm waiting in the room for this small little part of the teeny bopper in DC Cab, right? Mm-hmm. Do you know how many young girls have been called back for this part? There was still a waiting room. This was a callback. Then they narrowed it down to the last callback. I think there were 5 callbacks for this role. And mm-hmm. it's like 1 or 2 lines, but a whole scene. You know, I had to be there the whole day. You know,
right.
It wasn't like, oh, show up 15 minutes and then you're out the door. They narrowed it down to three girls. And it was like right at the end of casting, which always seems to happen to me. I'm always the one at the very end that, mm-hmm. and I end up getting the part in those big movies. But anyway, Mario, his name was Mario. I can't remember his last name, but he was the AD, one of the ADs of a movie. And he thought I was really cute because I picked out this cute little outfit. I've always loved picking out wardrobe and stuff, my hair and my makeup, the whole nine yards for this callback, because I really wanted the part. I mean, let me tell you something. That passion that I had back then in the early 80s for those roles, I don't think you could compare it other than to a cosmic, you know, meteor coming through the universe. That's how
impassioned
I was in getting roles and parts and going out for stuff. And Mario had, like, I guess he had, like, a little crush on me. But trust me, the other girls were, I mean, universal. I mean, they were beautiful. I mean, it wasn't like I was the prettiest girl on the thing, you know. And then
did you beat out the famous people for this part?
Well, Mario came up to me and he said, Debbie, give me, how are you going to read this line to Joel when he calls you in there? And I said, oh, look at that little man running across the top of the screen. And he says, that's perfect, but add a pause in between the first, oh, surprise, and then say your line, just like you said it. And I said, okay. And then the door opened, Mr. Deborah Dutch, please come on in. And Joel says, hi, how you doing? Okay, this is our fifth time together here. Are you ready? And I go, yes, Joel. And I remember what Mario told me. He said, take a pause. It was almost like a line reading, but you can't do line readings without the emotion and the reality behind mm-hmm. it. I mean, everything has to work, especially in these big time movies. They don't fool around. It's not a soap opera. It's not hitting your marks, saying the lines. They want the whole character, and they wanted a cute little quirky, kooky type of teeny bopper, you know? But they wanted that line because it was a comedic high point of that whole scene in the drive-in. So it had to be, Joel had a specific way he wanted that line to be delivered, and I nailed it, and I got the part.
Great.
Yay.
And you also.
But it was a little help from Mario because
thank you, Mario.
I had given that pause, that pregnant pause, like, oh, look, there, you know.
I'm glad that Mario gave you a pregnant pause rather than make you get you pregnant. But,
Mark.
It was too easy a setup. But you were also in a movie, The Man That Wasn't Here with Steve Guttenberg, right in the middle of New Police Academy.
That's another story, Mark. That is a Hollywood story.
Let's hear it.
Make your hair curl.
Okay, well, let's. Okay, it's straight.
Okay, remember I told you that I was a dancer? I was Miss Fantasy Graham.
Yes.
And John Lebold was my director, you know, and right. But he was a wardrobe. I had a Playboy Bunny party to go to. So, John, I would show up at his. I guess it's an office, but, you know, it was a wardrobe room. And he dressed me with the original bunny ears and tail and bunny outfit from the opening of the, you know, the original club in London. Mm-hmm. And to go do this gig, you know, and I guess back then I got like $500 and then I forget how much it was for the party. And John got 500, whatever. But I went and did the gig. At the party, somewhere in the valley somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I was invited to this ritzy Hollywood party up at the top of the Argyle. Remember the Ghostbusters movie?
Sure.
Well, you know, at the top of the Argyle is where, you know, that the witch comes and, you know, the scene on top of the Argyle?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's where my friend Tim Sims had a party. And he's a director. He lived in the penthouse up in the Argyle. Big Hollywood party. So here I come rushing back from that Miss Fantasygram party that I did. It's a little Playboy bunny. And I park my car across the street from the Argyle, run into the party, go up to the penthouse, and there was Bruce Malamuth as one of the guests. He's the director and producer of The Man Who Wasn't There. He saw me run in like a little bunny with my ears, my tail, my little boobies coming out. And I was young as can be. So I'm bouncing around and so excited to be at the ritzy Hollywood party with all these big directors and celebrities and the top of the Argyle. And this is before Ghostbusters was on. The Argyle was the place to be back right. in the early 80s. The place. I mean, everybody was there. So I'm up in the penthouse and sipping on some champagne and whatnot. And Bruce comes over to me and he starts talking to me and I'm giggling. And I actually knew he was casting the movie because we were actually in acting class together. I was in the acting class of the stars, Milton Casales, Michelle Pfeiffer was in my class, Bruce Malamuth. Oh, I could go on and on and on. You had to audition to get into Milton Casales. Do you know who Milton Casales is?
No.
Well, that's your, if you research him, he Tom Selleck had just left my class for Magnum PI. And
I could
go on and on. But anyway, Bruce Malamuth was familiar with my work in Milton's class because he was in Milton's class because Milton also had famous producers and directors. Marilyn McCoo was in there. You know, singers, songwriters were in there. Artists were in there to just learn about the art of acting. Anyway, Bruce was talking to me. I knew he was doing that movie, but you know, you can't just come out and say, oh, can I audition for your movie? You know, I really want to be in it. That you don't do it that way. You have to be cool, calm, and collected and have something of which the director wants from you. Right. And so I was just this cutie pie in a bunny outfit, having fun, sipping my champagne. And you know me when I sip my champagne, Mark. I'm the funnest.
Yes, I do.
I'm fun girl. And I was fun girl then. I'm fun girl now when I sip my champagne. But anyway,
Bruce. All sorts of stuff.
Bruce fell in love with me. You know, I mean, just as a person. You know, he's just the coolest dude ever. Anyway, I went back to class and I did a scene in class of which Milton raved about. And Milton is like this huge director. He did Butterflies Are Free with Goldie Hawn. He directed the movie. Mm-hmm. He did, you know, he was also a famous director as well as right. one of the most famous acting coaches in Hollywood, mm-hmm. if not the most famous acting coach.
Right.
I did a scene for him. The next class, Bruce was there. Milton raved about me. He said it was, you. I nailed the character. I did this. Well, the character was very similar to the character that, and it was, once again, one of the last characters that Bruce was gonna cast. The next morning, my agent calls me and says, we have an offer for you. I said, for what? And they said, The Man Who Wasn't There, that Paramount movie. They called from Warner Brothers.
Right.
And I said, you're kidding. And she said, no, they want you. And I'm negotiating the deal right now.
This was like an Invisible Man type of comedy thing.
Yeah.
And also, speaking of Goldie Hawn, you were in Protocol as well. That's probably your biggest credit.
And that's another so unbelievable story. Ready for it?
Well, I don't know if we have the time for that because I'm going to ask you what Goldie Hawn was like.
Oh, okay. Is it already 6:45?
No, but it's like 6:30, and we got to get to the Scream Queen stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, just real quick. Once again, it's the last part. It's a dancer part with Hannah wanted to know about dancing. Mm-hmm. The Safari Girls had all be professional dancers because in the club we had to dance and all kinds of stuff like that. And they did auditions for every dancer in this town for the Safari Girls. And there were three Safari Girls that had lines besides Goldie in the Safari Club. There were hundreds of dancers auditioning for the Safari Girl. Well, guess what happened? I don't know if you guys know it or not, but I have a famous grandmother, Mary G. Roebling, and we went to a couple of really ritzy Hollywood parties when she was out here, And she met Louis J. Rockmill, who is happens to be the executive producer of Protocol. Well, what happened is I had gone up for the Safari Girls dancing audition, and I, of course, got accepted. I was going. But what happened was my grandmother called Louis J. Rockmill on the phone and said, "Lou, my granddaughter is up for your movie, Protocol. And she's very, very talented. You know, she was on Broadway and studied with the best in New York City. And she's very talented. Can you please give her a shot? Can you give her a chance?" And Louis, oh, I'm going to start getting emotional. He said, "Okay, Mary, I will talk to Marion Doherty," who was the head of casting, who was in charge of everything. He went to Marion Doherty's office on a Friday, I think it was, and gave Marion Doherty my picture and resume and say, "Deborah Dutch is the granddaughter of a friend of mine, and she's in the callbacks. She's very talented. Please give her a part in something. If it's one of the Safari Girls, I understand she's on the callback list for the Safari Girls. Please give her a shot." And so Marion Doherty put my picture on her desk. They went away for the weekend. Louis J. Rockmill passed away on that Saturday or Sunday, that weekend.
Oh, no.
And then Monday morning, when Marion Doherty came into her office, she read the note that Louis had attached to my picture. "Please give Deborah Dutch a chance in the movie. She's very talented. And her grandmother, Mary G. Roebling, is a friend of mine."
Wow.
Marion Doherty called my agent, called me down the office, showed me the letter, and said, "You are now Safari Girl number 3.
Wow.
That I'm getting chills story. Because that's a true story. And I knocked the socks off of it because Herbert J. Ross at the time was married to, I forget, it wasn't Anne Bancroft, but it was somebody like that at the time.
She was married to, I can Wikipedia.
Yeah, and he was the toughest director in Hollywood at the time. He kicked you off the set. And one of the Safari Girls, he didn't like her because she didn't do exactly what he wanted. He called me into all the scenes. And he knew nothing about the letter, Louis J. Rockmill. I'm telling you, when push comes to shove, you guys, on these big sets, if you don't cut the mustard, they don't even care who you are, whether you're a star or anything. They will not use you. Either you're on the side. You're done.
Well, I'm not sure he was married to, but how was Goldie Hawn? But he also directed Footloose, Steel Magnolias, all sorts of things. How was Goldie Hawn to work with?
She was an angel. I have to tell you, she was one of the most humble, beautiful people I've ever worked with. She treated me like I was on the set with her almost the whole 2 weeks I was on the movie. She was so sweet to me. She treated me like an equal, which is what you're supposed to do in life.
Of course.
You know, you could be this, you know, I had a small role in the Safari Club with very few lines. However, she treated me on the same level as her. She did her aerobics every day at lunchtime.
Did you do it together or not?
Her private coach in, and she did aerobics on the set. And then she had her mother come down to visit.
That's nice.
She was just the sweetest woman. I didn't meet Kurt Russell. Because time they had just started dating. But I did hang out with Buck Henry and became very good friends with Buck. He was the sweetest guy in the world.
Really?
I hung out with all those guys in the Safari Club. If you look at the cast in the Safari Club, it's like who's who in Hollywood.
I've never seen that movie. I gotta check it out.
Very good friends with Ed Begley Jr.
Right.
I mean, everybody was phenomenal. And I made so much money on that. I had my own trailer. I bought myself a brand new Mustang.
That's great. Now people are watching this and they're fascinated by these Hollywood stories, but going, what does this have to do with Hollywood? What does this have to do with being a screen queen? This is what I'm going to get to, and then we're going to get to this. You were cast in the movie Sea of Love with Al Pacino.
That's exactly that's where it all began. You really nailed it, Mark. And I've been
immersing myself with Debbie Dutch all week. And by the way, were you in Playboy? Because I was trying to find that.
Yeah, I was in Playboy.
I didn't find those pictures yet. I gotta do some
more. April issue, 1987. Shannon Tweed is on the cover.
I'll have to cross reference with Shannon Tweed.
I was titled Miss Buns of the Month.
Well, to me, you're always Miss Buns of the Month. But tell Hannah how you got cast. The same.
Wait a minute, can you see?
Look at those buns. Look at wait a second.
I was Miss Buns of the Month.
You still are Miss Buns of the Month.
Yes,
look at
you
that.
Are. You have a gorgeous body.
I was Miss Buns of the Month.
You know what? I'm actually going to go through. I have a big stack of old school Playboy magazines that my cousin had hid from his wife before we moved into the front house. I'm going to look through and see if I can find that issue. He might have.
Yeah, I'm sure it's online somewhere. But this is
in my garage.
Yeah, but this is how you became. I had a friend who used to have a whole library in the bathroom. And then one time we had girls over and they wanted to use the bathroom. We're like, no, we're going to go. But you were cast in the movie Sea of Love with Al Pacino. And actually, this is a blessing in disguise that you did not get to do that, because that's led to your career that you still have, making tons of scary movies.
I was crying. It was absolutely the most devastating moment. Like, when I do write my book, that was the most devastating moment of my entire life. I went through 5 auditions. The last one, they flew me first class in New York City and put me up in a hotel. I went into Martin Bregman's office, did my audition one more time, mm-hmm. and he gave me the part. I was signed, sealed, and delivered.
Martin Bregman was the producer of Scarface, Carlito's Way, and other movies.
Right. Wardrobe, and then the politics came down in Hollywood. Al Pacino fired. I won't even say the director he fired, because it's such a, sad, but there's a lot of that stuff that goes on in Hollywood, especially in the big movies. I mean, there's big money involved. And they did pay me off. I will admit, say that, because Screen Actors Guild got involved. So I got the original amount that I was supposed to go to Toronto to film. But I was so heartbroken. I just cried. But you guys know I chant Namyoho Renge Kyo, and mm-hmm. I just chant it, to turn poison. We have this philosophy where we turn poison into medicine. And my heartbreak, I just said, somewhere in this great pain will be great gain. And what happened was, at this time, I had moved to another acting studio with Stanford Meisner. Mm-hmm. And there was a young director in there, and he spotted me, and he asked me to play the lead in his horror movie called Sorority Girls and the Creature from Hell. And I said, yes. Oh my gosh, I'd love to. And I'm talking about the lead, not the cameo, not the featured role, not the 5 lines in the A movies or whatever. It was the whole deal. I carried the whole picture. And that's what my acting muscle is all about.
And was that Jim Wynorski?
I want to be the lead. I want to be the star of the movie. Not for ego reasons, but because that's how much passion and stuff I want to give to a part. And I don't want to walk in, even though there's no small parts, no small actors. We know that saying. But to have the starring role of a movie is the most incredible experience for an actress.
So from an anonymous actress doing small roles in big movies, you have become a scream queen, and now the Hollywood warrioress. You're playing vampires, all sorts of stuff.
I have been nonstop working in fabulous roles, ever since. I still am. I just got back from shooting a vampire movie in Nashville called the Vampire Santa movie. So it's coming out Christmas. It's Ooh. Amazing. And I have horses and buggies. I play the good girl turn, and then I get and it's a period piece. I do my own wardrobe. I've had so much fun. I can't even tell you. But what happened was with the Sorority Girls and the Creature from Hell, it became a hit. And it was on USA up all night. Have you had Rhonda Shear on the show yet?
I've been trying.
Oh, that would be awesome. I used to watch her when I was a little girl.
Yeah. I'm friends with Rhonda.
All right. Well, I'm on the. We'll try. I would love nothing better than to have Rhonda on the show.
That would be amazing.
Anyway, but we got you on the show now, and we have limited time. Tell us. So, did they have to put custom fangs and all that?
Oh yeah. Sarah Jo, I promised her that I would mention her on the show. Sal Lizard's vampire movie. And Cleve Hall's going to be shooting this weekend. Cleve Hall, probably, he's just
Yeah, our buddy that we've had on the show a few times, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's flying into where I just was.
Okay.
Like in a couple of days. So you can ask Cleve how the set was. So professional. They had drones. The movie industry is moving all over the country now. It's not just here in Hollywood. It's in Tennessee. Yeah. It's in, I shot Needle Hook Massacre. You know Dustin Ferguson.
Of course, we had him on last week.
Well, he flew me into Omaha 5 years ago, and the rest has been history. I'm doing another Meat Hook for him next, in a couple of weeks.
So this is going to be your third
Meat Hook. Me, Annie Dev, and
your third Meat Hook Massacre
series. I think he's got a deal with, he probably told you. Yeah, okay. I'm getting the...
I know. Tell us, real quick, tell everybody about Hollywood Warrioress and anything that you need to plug. You've got the rest of the time, as long as you need, as long as you could do.
Oh, okay. Well, number one...
And we'll have you back. We can talk for hours.
Yeah. The one thing I want to say is I'm so happy that Hannah is playing the niece.
I am.
My niece.
Have you filmed that yet?
And that happened through you guys because my niece couldn't make it on the day of shooting and the director flew in from Philadelphia. I had the location. I had everything. And then I lost my niece, the most important character for that shoot. And who do I think of? Hannah. Mm-hmm. And I called you. I was at my hairdresser's. I called Mark. I texted Mark. I texted you. I said, do you think Hannah wants to play my niece? And it's a Screen Actors Guild TV series. And trust me, I'm going to be premiering it before the end of the year. And you guys are going to be so impressed by that first episode.
Yay. I'm very excited.
Oh, no, it's going to be amazing.
And this is the Hollywood Warrioress where you get to beat up people. I see that we're almost out of time. Debbie, we're going to have you on again real soon when you have more time. But tell everybody how they can get in contact with you.
Well, right now, the best way of getting in contact with me, they're revamping my website, would be the Facebook page, Hollywood Warrioress. You can message me. You can see clips from the movie. And I don't know if you can show a clip of the trailer on the show.
I'll, on the YouTube, I'll put it at the end.
Yeah, that's perfect. And so you can see the quality of what's going on. It's already been selling on Amazon.com, but the series is going to, I really have high hopes. I know it's going to be really a big success. I just feel it. And I want to end on this note, that especially for the young actors coming in or recording artists, whatever dreams that you have, never give up on your dreams, because this world is such a magnificent arena to make all your dreams come true. And you just have to have faith and believe in yourself and just keep going forward.
I don't know how I can top that. That's amazing.
That's a beautiful message.
Look at Deborah Dutch on Facebook, Hollywood Warrioress. Look up Hannah at Hail Hannah Box 666 on Instagram. Also, check out Vegans Uncensored and follow them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Debbie.
Oh, I love you guys. But
what, we love you.
Love to come back
what a show, huh, Hannah?
It was a beautiful show, yes.
And
really
again,
was.
We barely scratched the surface.
We barely scratched the surface. We love you, too. And we're going to need a part two before Halloween, I think, if we can do it.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Halloween night with Debbie. Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll talk about it.
Let's do it at my little pre-party.
Yeah, maybe. We can do the Zoom there.
We can figure something out. Maybe you and Cleve. Who knows what could happen. But anyway, Goth Comedian on all social media. Debbie's got to go. I wish she didn't. We could talk for hours. But everybody, have a wonderful creepy week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. I love you, darling.
Kiss everybody again, Debbie. Real loud.